We're in the last chapter of Jeremiah today. We're finishing the book of Jeremiah. A brother has kept charge of when track of when I started the book of Jeremiah. I didn't know. He said November 2nd, 2016. So, woo! We've been going through these judgments for 3 years, and wow, we're launching now from Jeremiah, the last chapter. Next week, we'll start the book of James and in the New Testament, and we'll stay in the New Testament through Revelation. So I'm very excited about that. And so what we do is like Dr. Vernon McGee, he goes Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. And because we've had such a large Old Testament book, we're going to stay in the New Testament for a few books, and then come back again to the Old Testament to bring to you the whole counsel of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul said to the elders in Ephesians, Ephesus. He said, you know, I have not failed to bring to you the whole counsel of God. And that's what we want to do, is go through the whole Bible and get it all, because it makes us a well-rounded Christian. So that's what we do. Praise the Lord. So we are in Jeremiah 52 today, and we are going to talk about the fact is that Jesus is the author of the resurrected life. Amen. And we want to live in the resurrected life with Jesus. Well, you know, there are small and large resurrections all throughout our lives. And he's training us and teaching us through the smaller resurrections for the big resurrection, to learn how to wait for that big resurrection where we are perfect forever and ever and a day. Hallelujah and amen. Praise God. And so we're going to actually look at a small resurrection today and a large resurrection today here in this chapter, chapter 52 of Jeremiah. And it blesses me no end that God ends this book of judgment with a resurrection, a big resurrection. The last verses are about the big resurrection we're going to look at. And he is a God that wants to say, yes, I tear down and I destroy and I judge and discipline, but then I do that to build up, to establish, strengthen, and settle. And every single one of our experiences, we go through a death, kind of a death. And Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so there's a death, and it hurts, and it's hard. But you know what? After the death is the resurrection. And you know what? He always, always heals us through Christ Jesus. Always causes us to triumph, the Lord God, through Christ Jesus. And that is the resurrection of each thing in our lives. There's a resurrection. And so then we get up to that wonderful, glorious resurrection of the end. So chapter 52 of Jeremiah begins with the final attack on Jerusalem, which began in 588 BC after 2 years of starving them out. The defeat was final in 586 BC. And so 2 years it took to actually conquer the city by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Zedekiah was a very prideful king, and he would not listen to the Lord and actually strove against the Lord, as Jeremiah was sent to just say, you know what, Nebuchadnezzar coming after this city is from me because of your idol worship, and you need to just surrender to him. But Zedekiah had a private talk with Jeremiah and told Jeremiah, I can't do this because my princes won't respect me anymore. Well, that's peer pressure, ladies and gentlemen. He was under peer pressure not to do it God's way. And so we see the result of that as we look at verse 8 of chapter 52 of Jeremiah. It says that the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, King Zedekiah, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. He had escaped the city through kind of a secret passageway between the walls with his children, his princes, and so forth. And he was running in the plains of Jericho. So all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Imagine how horrible that is, to have your children killed in front of your eyes. And then they put out his eyes. As it says here, he also put out the eyes of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon, bound him in bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. And so he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And here's a graphic example of this in the Old Testament. And God always brings the New Testament teachings alive in the Old Testament through examples of living. And so Zedekiah did not obey the Lord, and he ended up that way. Now, after that, they went ahead and burned the city and left just the poor in the land under Gedaliah. And we studied that a few weeks ago with Gedaliah being the governor and how they assassinated him and ended up going to Egypt and got out of God's will again. Now, I'd like to take you at this time to the small resurrection in this chapter. Which is showing us and showing us really graphically how concerned God is with every single thing in our lives. This is a very small resurrection, and he wants to resurrect us from the smallest problems and give us answers and blessings and take us up, further in and further up. And so, yeah, we go through our trials, our tribulations. We feel so bad sometimes. And it is a dying. It is a death. But after death is the resurrection. And as the Apostle Paul says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And so God calls us to the sufferings, but also to the resurrections. Well, here it is. Let's go to verse 17 of Jeremiah 52. And it says, the bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. These things were all made out of bronze. There were two really big 18-foot pillars in front of the temple. And for an A today, can you name those pillars? Their names are given in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Let me get that right. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. So I know because I looked them up. But last night, there was somebody here that knew the name of one. Well, there was a girl over here that knew the name of one of the pillars, and then there was a guy right here that knew the name of the other one. So I was impressed with them. So, anybody know? Okay, that's okay, because I didn't either. Okay, so we're all together on this. But one of those pillars is called Jachin. Again, this is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and that means he will establish. God will establish his kingdom, come anything and high water. He's going to get it done. And so the name of that pillar was Jachin, and on the south side. And on the north side was the pillar Boaz, which means in him is strength. And he will do it through his strength. Any resurrection that happens always and only comes through the strength of the Lord. He is made strong in our weaknesses. We can't do anything by ourselves. And with the Lord, though, he establishes, strengthens, and settles us, for in him is strength. And these are the pillars of that ancient temple there. Well, Nebuchadnezzar broke those things apart, melted them down, and took the bronze, just for the metal, back to Babylon. And so a real death there. Now it says, and he carried all the bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the bowls, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with them that the priest ministered with. So all of the silverware, you know, like you have the silverware in your drawer at home, that kind of thing. Just think of it that way. There were many things like that that the priests used in ministering in the temple. And all of these things were taken away. The basins, the fire pans, the bowls, the pots, the lampstands, the spoons, and the cups. Whatever was solid gold and whatever was solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. Now, when I read cups here, I think of Belshazzar. Now, we studied Belshazzar a couple of weeks ago. This was the wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, that threw a big party for all the kings of the earth and his kingdom. And they all came together, and he brought out the vessels of the Lord, the holy vessels that were taken away captive. And he poured booze into them and got all of his compadres drunk. And it was just to fly in the face of the Lord. Now, this is when the handwriting on the wall came, the famous handwriting on the wall, meaning, meaning, tekel, upharsin, meaning, Belshazzar, you've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting. And at that very night, 539 BC, King Cyrus and the Medes and the Persians broke into the palace and killed Belshazzar, because he was going in such a prideful, uppity way against the Lord God Almighty and actually using these precious vessels that were made to minister in the house of God to get his compadres drunk. And so there it is, the death. Now I want to take you to the resurrection, which is kind of one of my type favorite things in the Bible. Of course, I have a lot of those, but let's go to Zechariah chapter 14, the last chapter in Zechariah, right before the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, and verse 20. Now, Zechariah 14 is about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his kingdom on the earth. And He comes and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. This is all recorded in the first half of this chapter. And there's a giant earthquake, and there's a valley made, and it's called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Judgment. And this is where he divides the sheep from the goats. And on his right hand were the sheep. And he said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which was prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." And so what a beautiful thing that's happening here. But he remembers the vessels. He remembers the spoons. He remembers the cups that were violated and taken from his house. And what a resurrection. And in the beginning of this resurrection, which is found in verse 20, I love it because it talks about the horses. Anybody love horses here? Yeah, I know there's my family does, and we've got others that love horses. Well, it says right here, in that day, the day when Jesus sets up his kingdom on the earth, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. And you know, that means meant so much to Sherry and I, because we saw the Budweiser Clydesdales down at the Newport Beach Pier one day. And, you know, we thought, what a shame that they represent Budweiser. You know, Budweiser's written all along the big carrier that was carrying these beautiful big horses. And just remember this scripture, that when Jesus returns, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. So they're going to trade their bells in from Budweiser to holiness to the Lord. And I love it. This is a pure resurrection type deal, isn't it? But let's take a look at the next few verses. It says, the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. And so here we have our smaller resurrection, because these are just pots and pans, ladies and gentlemen, being resurrected to the Lord. He didn't forget all of that and let it go. He's bringing it back because he's the God of restoration. He's the God of resurrection. And so he brings these pots and bowls and all of it back, and it has on them holiness to the Lord, along with the bells of the horses. And I love it so much. Well, let's go ahead and go on from there to the large resurrection in chapter 52 of Jeremiah. So we go back now to Jeremiah and chapter 52. And, you know, after he took all of those things out, Nebuchadnezzar burned the city down, burned it down. And he took all of the people and led them away captive to Babylon and just left the poor in the country. Now, in verse 31, we have this dramatic resurrection of a king of Israel, one of the kings who was taken captive in 597 B.C., The first captivity was 606 B.C. when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken to Babylon. And then the next captivity was 597 B.C. when King Jehoiachin was taken away to Babylon. And then 586, when Nebuchadnezzar broke into the city and killed Zedekiah, the last king of Israel, and burnt the city to the ground. Now in verse 31, we read about the resurrection of King Jehoiachin. Because you know what? He obeyed the Lord. And I'll be showing you some scriptures on that in a minute. But verse 31 says, now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, now there is an evil name, isn't it? I mean, wow, it's kind of like Darth Vader. And you know what? I learned last night, because somebody came up to me after the sermon and says, you know what Darth Vader means? It means dark father. Vader means father in some country's language, and I forget which one it is now, but so dark father, and I thought that was interesting. But evil Merodach is, man, this is kind of a close second to Darth Vader, you know, evil Merodach, king of Babylon. This is Nebuchadnezzar's son, and he's the one that had Belshazzar, the next wicked guy. Anyway, it says, evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So there's a lot of kings in Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar had conquered and brought to Babylon. And they were treated mostly kindly if they did the right things and so forth. And of course, among them was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for actually getting close to Nebuchadnezzar through the miracles and the dreams that were taking place as they were there with the king of Babylon. And we know those stories from the book of Daniel. But here, this man that was in prison, Jehoiachin, one of the kings of Israel, evil Merodach lifted him up, and he gave him a more prominent seat than all the other kings. Man, this was a big lifting up. And you know what the Bible says? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And so King Jehoiachin was exalted above all the other kings. And it says there that... So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. So got to eat at the king's table, and there wasn't any crummy food there all the days of his life. I don't know if they had any gluten-free anything or no sugar like we do now for our diets, but he ate good. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given to him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. This is a resurrection indeed. This is how the book of Jeremiah ends, with resurrection, with building up, with coming back to restore that which was lost, and also for this king. And we want to get a little story of the past for King Jehoiachin to see how this works. And so we go back to 2 Kings. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 12. And it tells us the story of good King Jehoiachin. So it says in verse 12 of 24 of 2 Kings, Jehoiachin, king of Judah, actually listened to Jeremiah the prophet. Zedekiah did not. Zedekiah was prideful and gave in to peer pressure and stayed the course of being evil. But Jehoiachin gave his life to the Lord, and he listened to Jeremiah and respected the servant of God. So Jehoiachin, king of Judah, his mother, his servants, his princes, and his officers went out to the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon in the eighth year of his reign took him prisoner. And so the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign was 597 B.C. And so this is what happened to Jehoiachin, that he listened to Jeremiah instead of rebelling against the word of the Lord. And he went out to the king. And what a humble, humble situation that would be, to actually take his mother out with him and his wife and his servants and princes and officers. And they went out to the king of Babylon and humbled themselves under God's command. And God then lifted him up at the end. The end was resurrection. And this is so important. This message of the Bible is so important that God gives it a double emphasis. Let's turn to chapter 25 of 2 Kings and starting at verse 27. This is word for word what ends the book of Jeremiah. And this ends the book of 2 Kings. The same exact words. God is saying, this means a lot to me, and this is a message that I want for you. I am the God of resurrection, and I will look, and my eyes go to and fro through the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are perfect towards me, that I might show myself strong through them. And so this resurrection comes. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And all his provisions, there was a regular ration given to him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. So the exact same words. Man, I'm telling you, God is interested in letting you know that he's a God of resurrection. For any single terrible thing that might come your way. It's like my wife always says, the Bible says it came to pass, and this will come to pass. It doesn't come to stay. It comes to pass. And God, in his magnificent resurrection power, the power he used to raise Jesus from the dead can work with you and work on you and work with you and bring about the desires of your heart. Because he says that those that delight themselves in him, he will give them the desires of their heart. And don't you know, Jehoiachin was probably so happy to come and sit with the king and to sit in a place above all the other kings. In those days, if you were highly respected in the group that was invited to a table, you would sit closer to the host. And if you were kind of last on the list, you would sit the furthest away from the host. And this helps us understand the verse in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where Jesus said, when you go to a feast, take the lower seat. Because if you take the higher seat, somebody might come and say, would you please move down? And it's so embarrassing, facial disgraceful, right, to have to move down. But if you take the lower seat, then someone might come to you and say, hey, move up. You have a better seat here. And then you feel blessed, and everybody sees you being moved up, and that's much better. And Jesus actually spoke that as a parable to us. And so this is the idea that he was using. And so Jehoiachin was more prominent than all the other kings that were there as God gave him this resurrection. Now I'd like to go ahead and take you to the New Testament now on this whole idea. That actually our lives are a series of resurrections. A series of resurrections. And I really believe that the Lord is just training us, I think I mentioned this earlier, to get ready for the big resurrection. We have to wait for the Lord from heaven. And we love his appearing, and he's coming for all those that love his appearing to give us a crown of righteousness that fades not away. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And so after you've done the will of God, then you'll receive the promise. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to do the will of God. It's hard for Jehoiachin to take his mother and his princess out to Nebuchadnezzar. It had to be so hard to do that. But it was God's way. And God had it done. And the resurrection came. As we see Jehoiachin eating dinner in just this way. So let's go to John chapter 11, verse 24, about this whole idea. John chapter 11 and verse 24. Now, I'll give you a little background on this. Lazarus got sick. We all know the story pretty well, I think. Lazarus got sick, and Mary and Martha, his sisters, were worried that he would die from his sickness. And so they sent to Jesus to come. Oh, please come and heal him. And Jesus, though, just stayed two more days where he was after he heard the news. And his disciples were going, Lord, Lazarus is sick. Martha and Mary want you to come and heal him. And Jesus just hanging out, you know, drinking iced tea or whatever. And they kind of got on Jesus' case a little bit. And he says, you know, Lazarus, after he passed away, you know, he said, he's not dead. He's just sleeping. Because Jesus knew what he was going to do. Rise him from the dead. And so he waited until that event happened so he could do better than heal him from the diseases but raise him from the dead. And there was a purpose in it. It was 1 week before Jesus rose from the dead, and he was trying to tell us, the people, it's not just Jesus that rose from the dead, but Lazarus. And all of his disciples will rise from the dead. And so he's speaking lessons about resurrection. Well, she said, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She was kind of mad at him. Let him know. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. way, that's way far away, Lord. That's way up there. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes. And we all say yes, right? We believe this. But Jesus is here with us through every circumstance. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, there was a fourth man with them. And the king said, this man looks like the Son of God. And it was the Son of God. For many times, Jesus doesn't deliver us from the trial, but he goes with us through it. He goes with us through it. And at the end, there is glorious resurrection. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that fiery furnace, not even smelling of smoke. Have you ever been by a fire down at the pits in Huntington Beach? And afterwards, your clothes kind of smell like smoke. Well, that's natural and normal. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were inside the fire, and they did not even smell a smoke, because that was a complete resurrection. That was a complete deliverance. That was complete that God had in mind for them. And he came and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth in his grave clothes. It must have been funny to see him kind of hobbling out of the grave with all wrapped up like they had him wrapped up. And they said, undress him. Yeah, because he's alive. And it was the fourth day, and he was supposed to actually be in decomposition the fourth day. That's why Jesus rose on the third day. It's before decomposition takes place of a body. And Martha told Jesus, Jesus, this is the fourth day. He stinks by now. But no. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not smell of smoke, neither did Lazarus stink in any way, because Jesus Christ breathed life into him and brought him back from the dead, that beautiful resurrection. But he did it that day, not some big day in the future. And God wants to tell us something through this, I'm convinced. He is the God of resurrection, and every single trial, every single thing we go through is only for our good. And at the end, resurrection comes. And the angels come and minister to us. And we are blessed and lifted and changed and just readied for the big resurrection, to wait for that. Because our God is an awesome God. Yes, sir. And so this is very exciting. For me, and I hope for you too, that as we wait on the Lord, we'll renew our strength and mount up like eagles and walk and not be weary, run and not faint. And as we wait on the Lord, it says, wait. Again, I say, wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your heart. And so my heart is strengthened as I am deciding to just say, Lord, do what you got to do. And I know there's a resurrection for me somewhere. And I'm waiting for you, Lord. And he will bring that resurrection as he brought Jehoiachin out to eat with the king. And even thinks about the pots and the pans. I love that. Because something that might seem itty-bitty to you about your life. And for me, it's finding a parking place, you know. And I've shared this a lot with you, but I am telling you, the other day, Sherry and I were going to the doctors together. We visited the heart doctor together. It was fun. Hey, Doc, can Sherry go on the zip line? He says, what kind of energy do you use on a zip line? He says, of course, he can go on the zip line. So praise the Lord. And that was a good thing. Oh, what was I getting to, though? The parking. You can never get a parking place right in front of the doctor's office, man. I'm telling you. You never can do that. But we drove up, and God knew, you know, we're both going to the heart doctor. There was a place right there. I don't know how it happened. It was just there. And I saw the lettering on the floor, so I thought it's got to say reserved for the doctors or get out of here, buddy. You're not going to park here. But it just said patient parking. And I just pulled right in. It was just amazing. And then later in the same day, we got another one like that. And so we do pray for parking places. And I see it as pots and pans and vessels, a small resurrection, right? But something that says, I love you. Some little thing that God will do for you just to say, I love you and I'm watching out for you so carefully. I'm very persnickety. That means picky. I learned that a long time ago. It's one of my big words, persnickety. He's very persnickety to watch out for you and me and to make sure things come out right for us. And I'm so thankful to him for that. And so, you know, brothers and sisters, we can trust him so big and so wide and so deep. Just about every little thing in our lives. And he takes care of the big things as well. Even through somebody named Evil Murdoch. I mean, come on. That's got to be the Lord, right? Oh, God's so good, isn't he? Let's do it one more time. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you so very much, Lord, for resurrection. You're just the God of resurrection. You invented resurrection, and you're the author and finisher of our faith, which is the requirement to be resurrected. And, Lord, we thank you for Jehoiachin. We'll see him in heaven, and he'll probably be sitting somewhere close to you in heaven at the head of the table. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would help us. Help us along in this life that gets hairy and scary sometimes and just, oh my, sometimes we just don't know what end is up. But Lord, you do. And it's so great to know that. We love you, Jesus. We love you completely and fully. And that you would bless each one here today and give each one, Lord, those kisses and hugs that they need, Lord. For you will not leave us comfortless, but you will come to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The prayer room. There you go. You got to go to the prayer room. It's right there. All right. God bless you guys.